Okay, we're going to start.
So, Moyer, are we at 99% agreement?
And I've got a couple from online first. We missed them last week. So for those watching online, we've got your questions. We hear your voice. So the first, so a couple of these are back from Psalms 24 and Psalms 118.
Oh,
all right, good. So just letting everybody know.
Boy.
So all right, Psalms 24 and 118. So first question, does the Jewish governmental leadership need to cry out to Jesus by name and as Messiah for him to return to the planet? This is from Nick.
Now, I would say return to the planet. He comes to the planet, but he already knows they're going to say that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So it's not like if they say Yeshua, oops, they should have said Jesus because the Lord speaks English too. I mean, it does, you know, that's not really what they're asking.
Sure. But do they need to cry out? But
yeah, but he's there. And so that's it's kind of a no-brainer, you know.
Yeah, I think the big point is it must end with their reconciliation.
Yes.
He's going to approach the city. They're going to sing Psalm 118 to him. Yes. I think that's the major point.
Okay.
Well, and then Jesus said, I'm not coming back till you're ready, but I've got a plan where you're going to be ready. Trust me, it's going to work.
Okay, good. All right. We've got more. We got a lot more coming online. Next one. Psalms 118, verse 27. This is from Grace. Are we going to present offerings to God in the temple when Jesus enters Jerusalem?
No.
Okay, part two. And I guess that doesn't matter because he's asking, are they
no,
also sacrificed?
In the millennial
like the
temple, people with natural bodies, the priesthoods will have offerings, but that's different from us with resurrected bodies.
Yes, right.
Bodies
those with resurrected bodies, no, but natural bodies.
Because they're
not
even connecting on the resurrected people in the New Jerusalem. Isaiah and Jeremiah, they just kind of skipped us most of the time.
That's right.
Didn't they? Mostly?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's quite odd to me, but it's true.
It's not so bad, though.
All right, so we're on a roll here. Let's keep going. From Nancy, also from last week, if all the nations conspire, then how is it Jesus separates the sheep from the goat nations? I have assumed some nations would stand against the Antichrist.
No, all the nations come, all the armies come, and he kills all the leaders, and then after that, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, the easiest way to think about it this way is, like Mike said, it's the governmental leaders of the earth will stand against him.
Yes,
that doesn't imply that every single human being in every people group then resist him, because obviously they don't. So it's helpful to think of that passage about separating sheep from goats, so to speak. Nations there would really should be translated people groups. It's ethnos.
Out of the people groups, I will separate them how they responded to me, which is different from the kings
of the
earth.
And it's even after, it's in the 43rd month and beyond as well. It's going to take a while, the reconstruction period. It's not going to be over in 3 weeks. I talked to you and a few other guys. I forgot it right now. I'm tired. But I looked up the number of people groups in the Middle East. It's like 70 or 95. There's not just 25 nations. There's scores of people groups. I actually got the number written down. I can't remember.
No, at least, because I'm involved in a project with just the unreached people groups, and it's like 30 or 40 just
that's
in the Middle
70
East.
Or 80 just in the yeah. Middle East. People groups, with all right. of them are different, and they'll all have different. In that reconstruction period is what I think he's evaluating it
yeah.
on.
So the So what Jesus is going to evaluate are the people groups, but the kings of the earth are representing the nations that are being
the 200
destroyed
nations.
Before.
There's
yeah.
200 nations, but there's what, 12 to 14,000
yeah.
people groups.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's not 12,000 kings. There's only
right.
200 kings.
Yeah. Okay, that's clear, very clear. Okay, let's take one more from online, and then we'll jump to our local crowd here. Just for my timeline understanding, this is coming from Mary. Are the Jewish Great Tribulation survivors from where they've been taken captive already returned by the highway before this campaign, or are they with Jesus marrying Psalm 45 event, this event to when he led the captives? I don't know if I could fully follow.
No, that's a great question. I think if they're close by, I think the highway's hundreds of miles,
yeah.
but I don't think it's 8,000 miles. I don't think it crosses over the Atlantic. I mean, they're going to be everywhere. So, but I think it's hundreds of miles. I think it's a super highway beyond what we can imagine. And so many of them will go back on that highway. Not everybody will. And I don't think the wedding procession happens the day after Jesus goes to Jerusalem. It takes a while to build the millennial temple. I mean, it's St. Peter's Cathedral times 100. It's like for real. I don't know if that's the real number, but.
Yeah, we shouldn't overlook the drama of this. The father's been waiting thousands of years to install his son, save Israel, gather the redeemed
out of
the nation.
Drama
so it's
everywhere.
Going to take. We think of like blink our hand, snap your fingers, it's done. And I think this thing's way more dramatic and takes a little more time.
Well, because Isaiah 60 talks about all these Middle East nations bringing the wood, bringing the gold, bringing the servants. There's all these human dynamics, like you said, that no one's in a hurry.
This is
amazing.
And I would just imagine the Lord is not particularly keen to leave people out because they were, too far away. I was like, sorry, you missed it. We
told
had
you not to go
ago.
To America. Yeah. You should have been over here on the highway.
Wow.
You're right. That's exactly right.
Timeline-wise, we would say Psalm 24 and 118 would be before Psalm 45, marriage event, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's a good statement.
Interesting.
Yeah, Psalm 24 and Psalm 118 is before the wedding. The wedding procession may not happen for a chunk of time. I mean, I just don't know. I don't want to guess it. I got a feeling it's got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But he wants a pageantry. He wants a big thing.
Right.
Yes.
Awesome.
It's cool,
okay.
Isn't it?
Yes.
This is great. Good questions.
Waiting a long time.
Okay, Paul, come on up here. I'll just hold it right. I'm going to hold the mic for everybody, so go ahead.
Well, I'm reading out of Revelation 20, Mike and everybody. They that do not worship the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads, their hands, they came to life and reign with Christ 1,000 years. I take it those are those saved saints with redeemed bodies.
Yes.
But then after 1,000 years, Satan will be released from the four corners of the earth to test those, to gather them for battle. And I take it those are the ones that are unsaved, that become saved Jews that...
Well, no, these are unsaved Gentiles, mostly at the end of the 1,000 years.
And so my question is...
Or backslidden, they might be saved and denied. It's hard to say.
My question is, because Satan was allowed now, when he comes, to kill us, if we're... some of us will be alive, some will be martyred. Will he be allowed to kill the... save Gentiles at that time, save Jews.
Huh. Will Satan martyr save Gentiles at the end of the millennium with natural bodies? I've never thought about that.
I have not thought about that question.
That is an interesting question.
Because he's allowed to kill us now. He seems like he would be allowed to kill the people.
Never thought about that.
Because he's trying to gather a battle for the battle against Jesus and everybody that's ruling and reigning in the New Jerusalem.
Yeah, I never thought about it. I don't think we know. It would take a group like this to ask a question like that. That is a very interesting question.
Things you only hear. All right, Rena, you want to help together?
I've been wanting to ask you this for like 8 years.
8 years?
Whoa.
This is going to be a good question. This is going to be great.
I have said at some point from the first 3 years I was here.
The first 3 years?
Yes. And hearing my question, you say it been from the father's perspective of the son. Is it possible at the same time in being some from the bride's perspective of her heart being overflowed by the coming of the Lord. That every time I read that, it made me think that it also meant that the bride's heart would be awakened to the coming of the Lord.
She's seeing it as the bride singing it. You're saying the father singing it, but can we interpret it as the bride overflowing, waiting for the coming of the Lord? The way we normally sing it.
Yeah,
is that
course,
correct?
Yeah. Yeah, the father goes, whoa, hey, jump in. of course. It's a the bride can sing that. Yeah, great question.
Yeah, and this is a question that's actually come up in a lot of Worship with a Word briefings that I've been in. Like, well, it's the father's perspective, but how do we sing that? And I think there's such an invitation to agree with the father's heart. Like, I don't want to come up with a song that it's not going to be better than what the father is saying about the son. And just to jump in and go, well, yes, what he said. And, you know.
And the father loves it.
Yeah.
I actually live up that what overflowing it means to be awakened.
Okay, overflowing it means to be?
Awakened.
Awakened. Awakened. Yeah. And more. Awakened plus some.
Yeah.
So here's my deal. Don't wait 8 years for the next question. Come on. You're telling Chris stuff and you won't tell me anything. Come on.
I had the same question, actually. Now I get to ask another one.
Wow.
Bless you.
So I actually have two questions. One is that, so Jesus has one bride, Jew and Gentile, redeemed. But the day he comes back to be admired by his saints with flaming fire, the holy angels, all of that. I've always seen that as the wedding day. And so are there two weddings then? We don't know. It's just kind of like.
I don't want to touch that because the second we say that, we've got this little earthly amphiteater and the Lord says, no, you're all in this thing together.
Right.
They just didn't know it.
But so, we as the saints are, we're participating in this, celebrating that Israel has come into their place in the millennial earth.
And if you go down the road and they're worshiping Jesus and they are moving in the power and the prophetic and honoring him and they love you, you're going, wow.
Right.
Well, it's the same wow. We're just all in it together.
Yeah. So the other, I guess, question kind of statement is, I would love to, or for you to maybe tease out a little bit more of the musical dimension of this, because, and you said, you know, if it's his garments or if it's string
instrument,
doesn't matter.
I think it's musical, personally. I think it's musical.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about, because I've heard Matt Candler talk about this, and he said this is the garments being scented before the return of Jesus by the musical instruments.
Well, that's
on the
earth. I like that.
And I'm just thinking.
I like that.
I really like that, too. It's pretty inspiring. But then it says, I will cause your name to be remembered for all generations. They will praise your name. And usually, again, from my background, when I think praise, I think singing. But I just think, praise your name. Your name is worthy. But I'm thinking now.
Love
because
songs.
The love songs and worthy songs.
Yes.
Specifically the musical element, going back to, you know, David's tabernacle and what he saw in the future. Like, is there any more on the musical?
Yeah, I'd say call Jeremy Riddle and ask him.
I hope to talk to him.
No, that's a big story. That's a big story, isn't it?
A very big story. Do you have any thought? I mean,
I think as a worship leader, I would love to hear you break that open and expound on it. And
but Matt Candler does
insight.
That well, too, though. Yeah,
Matt
let's get Matty Boy on involved.
Okay, a couple more online. All right, this is from Alicia. Hello. Hello, Alicia. I'm still trying to connect how Mike views the queen as specifically Jewish and that they would have natural bodies.
Well, everyone in the millennium has natural bodies. Everyone does, not just the Jewish people. All the Gentiles, the daughters of Tyre, all of them do. And so there's no other option but people with natural bodies who are living on the millennial earth. And I don't just see it as Jewish, I see it as Jerusalem specifically, which is then Jewish.
Just following up, I wonder if Alicia's also thinking, why is it the queen like resurrected saints? I'm not saying she's saying that, I'm just curious, like, what would you say to someone that would say
I would say the resurrected saints are the queen bride at the bigger, you know, the capital Q, capital B, and this is the smaller earthly version of it.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's the micro and the macro. Is that a good way to say it?
You guys are thinking
the cameo.
Too.
It's the cameo. Got? That's it.
I think it's kind of like, where is the lens pointing at a certain moment in the song?
There you go.
You know, like Like Mike said, the
where's the lens pointing at? Yeah.
Right. I mean, the whole thing starts on Mount Sinai when he betroths himself to Israel and sets something into motion. Then he looks at the nations and goes, hey, I'm going to invite you into Israel if you'll submit to my son and you can become part of the story, but not in a way that ends this other story. You become part of it. The end of Revelation, the bride's a city as well. I was thinking at the end of Revelation the whole time when you were doing the queen in Psalm 45.
Yeah, it's again, it's where the lens is.
Where's the camera?
It's really a cameo shot of a huge wedding story.
Well, and I think this is loosely connected to the question about are there two weddings, and without trying to commit to an answer on that, just the idea, like to keep it open, that this could be a long process.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Ancient weddings took days.
A big process.
And so there can be, you know, one bride that's resurrected and on the earth, and there are different parts of the ceremony, like you were saying, just a lens zooming in on different parts that are still part of the big progression that takes who knows how long. So not having to pinpoint everything to it's just this, and it's just one tiny little slice of time, and that's everything. Like, the Lord's doing a lot, and there's a process that, again, he's not in a rush to get through. So.
Yeah, it's massive and long.
It's a massive and long, different screenshots, yeah.
And what'd you say?
Screenshots or vignettes or whatever the words you guys are using.
Yeah, it's just the camera's moving. And the Father and the Son have planned this a long time ago. Before they started making the earth, they planned this. So we're in a long setup, and it's going to be a massive event.
Yeah,
I'm thinking one wedding that's big and massive. I can't imagine two, but no one's asking my opinion up there.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I would say that. I don't think it's two. I think it's a massive event. We're not grasping how the Son has been waiting for the day of his wedding for a very long time.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not a 30-minute ceremony and then we go get hors d'oeuvres at a whatever.
That makes sense.
Go have your punch and we're done now.
And like Isaiah 25, it seems to use like a wedding language, like the feast and all of that.
And
on
I
earth,
had that in the notes. I actually put that feast.
Oh, good.
Great. Like on page 7.
All right, but then, Revelation has the bride coming up, so it's all the same wedding language.
I mean, the marriage supper could be most of the millennium, even, I wonder, sometimes.
Yeah,
that celebration can go a long time.
The marriage
supper, 1,000 years?
I have. Well, I've never had the guts to say it, but because I'm not sure.
Well, I'll say it then, and you can.
It might be.
All right, one more from online, then my friend here. All right, this is from Reinhardt. What verse were you referring to that gave the indication that Jesus' scented garments could speak of his actions?
Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8, where the bride's garments are her righteous acts of the saints in this age.
Oh, Jesus could speak of his actions.
Well, if it's true of us, that means the Father, it's in his plan to have garments and actions connected.
They're all
so
connected.
So if it's true, if he came up with it for us, could be for him too.
I was thinking too, you guys might have a thought.
Nope.
Isaiah 59 talks about the garments of vengeance when Jesus puts them on before he comes down to vanquish the Antichrist. I mean, that's right? Garments, vengeance, okay.
Well, and the garments he's seen in Revelation 1 suggest his high priestly role. And so it seems like, he doesn't just throw something on because it looks cool, but there's meaning to it.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Okay, my friend here. Rabin? Okay, all right, a friend from Rabin. You got a question.
So this is concerning the remnant of Israel along with the nations that survived and lived during the millennial. So the logical conclusion that I come to is that if they stay faithful, they will have their resurrected bodies when they die or until the white throne judgment, live until the white throne judgment. So there is this third resurrection issue comes up. So obviously, I couldn't see any verses that indicate or at least talk about. But that's the logical conclusion that I feel like I'm demanded to come to. What do you think about that? You know, that the third resurrection, whether they die and they instantly change.
What resurrection?
A resurrection of the remnant of Israel during the millennial, along with the Gentile nations, the believers during the millennial kingdom. Yeah. So they're only believers, but when and how do they get their resurrected bodies?
You mean a guy's in the millennium, like he's an unsaved survivor of the tribulation. He gets saved in the millennium,
yeah,
or lives to be 180 years old and dies. That's probably when he gets his resurrected body.
So that's another resurrection.
The Bible's silent on it. Yeah.
Yes, that's the logical conclusion that I come to. But there's not a single...
No, there's not. I don't even have a hint anywhere. Yeah. Except for Jesus says, you'll forever be with me. I'll never be away from you. So they die, they go right to his presence. I mean, where else would they go?
Yeah. Or, to me, yeah, they...
15.
What's that?
Yeah, I would say, this is my opinion. Like Mike said, I don't think there's a... I think there's a hint in 1 Corinthians 15 and there's a hint in Revelation 20. Because Revelation 20, there's a resurrection. The millennium starts. Into the millennium, there's clearly another resurrection because there's a great white throne judgment and he's sorting out the righteous from the unrighteous. The other passage that you can look at that might give insight is 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul goes, there is a sequence of resurrections. Again, I'm paraphrasing. And he goes, the first one, Jesus. The second resurrection, all those who belong to him at his coming, right? Then he must rule until he puts all things under his feet, hands it over to the Father, and the last enemy he destroys is death. If death ends, that implies a resurrection of all those who are dead because no one's dead anymore. And so it seems like Paul, matching Revelation 20, sees three, Jesus, the saints, and then the resurrection of the rest at the end of the millennium. That's my reading of that passage. A hint.
It does. You know, I just so far couldn't answer. I've thought about those passages, mm-hmm. but couldn't answer as, you know, like firmly as I do for the other resurrections.
Sure.
And very quick question, if I may. You have not changed your view of post-trip. Right to pre-wrath?
For sure.
You have not?
I'm looking for a verse. That's what I'm looking for. There's a really cool verse on my notes, but I can't find it. No. You mean to go back to pre-trip?
No. Pre-wrath.
Oh, I think it's a pre-trip. I go,
please don't go back to pre-trip.
No, pre-wrath.
No, I haven't. I like that view, but I don't think it's the best view. But I think it's a good one.
Okay.
I mean, the difference is so minute. It's a few months.
I've been away for a few years, not online. I was just wondering.
Yeah. I think that the wrath is involved in the trumpets, and the trumpets are being released by the prayer of the saints on the earth. So that's definitely wrath. But I don't mind that view. I like that
right.
view. Bless you.
Can you describe for those in the room, what is a pre-wrath view? For those that heard the question, maybe didn't know that he was just referencing.
The simplest summary would be in the pre-wrath view, Jesus returns before the very end of the tribulation and begins executing God's wrath. Many of the points they raise we would probably agree with. Yes, we would just say he returns at the end, and then he executes the bowls of wrath in most likely that 30-day window. Yes. So there's a lot of similarity there. We would just say the text seems to lay out the return
and
at the end.
Trumpets not wrath, and trumpets are pretty wrathful.
So it is very similar. There are some distinctions, but that might be a brief summary.
It's a very small thing.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, this is our last question for tonight from Jacob. So in your notes, you mentioned that you see the king's daughters to be Gentile believers in the millennium. Do you see the bride's sons and virgins to include Gentiles?
Bride's sons?
The bride's sons and virgins to include Gentiles as well, or is that unique to the king's daughters?
I think sons would be instead of your fathers, should be your sons.
Oh, yes.
Oh, the verse 17.
One of the last verses.
Oh, good. I never put that together. Dude.
So do you see the bride's sons, so that's the verse that, Amanda, you just said, and virgins to include Gentiles as well, or is that unique to the king's daughters?
Only this room would ask that question.
I don't think we have a strong, unless Amanda's got
this
secret answer.
That's a great question, though.
A lot of family relationships. Okay. Bless you guys. Have a good night. Q&A is over.